Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And it's time to travel again. Travel into other consciousness or about other consciousness with a man who is a master of sound, who can transform you and has transformed me and many others with his music that is otherworldly. He's been on the show before. I hope you've heard his previous show because it was so fascinating. He really is someone who's here to change our consciousness. And we're going to do it some more. David Young, thanks so much for being back on Energy Stew.
Well, it's a pleasure, Peter.
We had such a good time in the last show. Mm. And it's amazing what you do and where it all comes from because you're so innocent. You're really just a guy who loves to play beautiful music, transforming music, and you didn't realize the power that you were working with until people started telling you.
Yeah, it's true. I didn't realize that we could actually be part of the bigger picture. You know, it's like...
Play a role, you mean?
Yeah, that, you know, we think about the... Sometimes people call them the masters of the universe or the ascended masters. We think about them in this... You know, really lofty, you know.
Separate from us.
You know, especially a lot of the people who you work with in the different healing modalities, after a while of doing this healing, the person realizes they are part of the whole.
That's what I always thought was my purpose with my work, my intuitive work, is to give people experiences because I know things that I couldn't know otherwise, that there's some way that their reality is known to me beyond their telling me about it. Mm-hmm. And that helps people understand that there's something else. There's another place where knowledge is known.
We have this whole process of unfolding that has to do with our individual enlightenment. We all have things from our past that we need to let go of and grow out of. I don't know anybody who's ever had a perfect childhood. You know? I don't know if that thing is possible. And, you know, one of the negative things of being born in the early 60s and growing up with television is that there were certain families that looked like they had these perfect lives. And so it made everybody feel bad about themselves in a way because, wow, my family is not like this. You know?
Right. But in the end, those families in many ways crumbled.
This is true. The unique thing, the difference between growing up in the 70s versus growing up in the 90s in a way, is that in the 70s, all the TV shows made it look like your personal lives were really messed up. But in the 90s, when reality TV became so popular, or in the 2000s, you know, whatever that's called, with all the zeros on it, reality TV made you feel pretty good about yourself because you saw, you know, all these people going through all this drama and all this ridiculous stuff. But my point about bringing that stuff up is that when each one of us starts taking that movement, those active steps towards our own spirituality, raising our consciousness towards the enlightenment, there are different parts of ourself that are not serving us anymore. Old negative thought patterns that actually affect ourselves more than they affect anybody else. And as we're going, climbing this spiritual ladder, there's a certain part of it where the releasing of, you know, those old things that from your childhood of how your parents looked at you, how your in-laws looked at you, how your friends might have teased you about certain things that give us a certain self-consciousness in a negative way, being self-conscious of ourselves from something that maybe we've been teased about a lot, you know? And when we start having the enlightenment experiences, there's a part of that process where those old pieces of our self-image, those negative shades of our self-image, that we don't need to carry them anymore.
And yet they haven't disappeared. They just don't matter. So we don't hold on to any of that.
Yeah.
We can look back and we're much more indifferent to it because we see ourselves as light beings. We understand that we are multidimensional consciousness, and that represented a much more dense third-dimensional reality that actually we came here to experience so that we could go deeper into our hearts and find this light that we're now experiencing more of.
Yeah. And the reason why I bring that up is because there's everybody who I know who has had some of this enlightenment experience is that there's a time, there's a period of time where we're, it's like our glass is being cleaned so we can be clear, you know, and there might be some blemishes on those, on that glass that's from a long time ago. And as that blemish is being wiped away with, you know, the cloth of spirit as it moves us upward and out of that, you know, we have our tears for, like, actually letting go of, like, well, you mean I don't have to beat myself up like that anymore? I don't have to be so self-critical, and I can just be, and, you know, that's a process for all of us. And everybody who I know who, during this period of ascension that has really kicked in the last couple of years, you know, this is a part of it, you know.
But I do think it's a driving force that directs us more to the light.
There's no doubt. You know, I'd like to talk about that driving force.
Good.
Because I've had some realizations with this, and I've got some information that's really cool information that is, I don't know how much of this information is known.
Okay.
But, you know, a lot of times people talk about the dissension in the world and all the terrible things that are happening, you know, but if you really think about it, if you compare life now, at least in America, North America, compared to the way life was 1,000 or 2,000 years ago, I mean, we have it good. You know, for every one terrible thing that happens each year, oh, there were thousands of terrible things happening 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago from slavery and all the different stuff that had gone on. So we're really in a much better place than we've ever been. There have never been this many people studying spirituality and moving and advancing towards a more beautiful world with more love and more peace and more joy. They didn't have therapy 50 years ago. You know what I mean? And therapy is a normal part of our lives.
But yet, the way that we're witnessing some of the abuses that are going on in the world today can make us feel like, well, what kind of progress are we making? Then again, we're so much more aware of the negativity of that and how much we have to change that.
This is true. So if you think about the dissension between the Jewish religion, the Muslim religion, and Christianity, there is actually one thing that all three of those religions have in common. It's actually the foundation of all three of those religions, and that is the writings of Moses. Because the Torah, the Old Testament, and the first chapters of the Quran are all the teachings of Moses. And if you think about that, that's something that unifies everything. But if you think about, well, why is that story such a big story? That story is not necessarily about Judaism. It's about a guy who learned how to channel spirit for the good of everything. You know, the slavery that was going on back then in ancient Egypt was horrible. You know, there's no words that we can describe how horrible that was.
And Moses was able to bring a higher truth.
Right. And the reason why I bring this up is because this all relates to the ascension. Moses wrote 5 books: Genesis, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Exodus, and the book of Enoch. Now, Enoch was Moses' spiritual guide. You know, we all have spiritual guides. For some of us, it's Jesus or Buddha or whoever. But Moses had a spiritual guide whose name was Enoch. Okay? And all of those miracles that happened back then in ancient Egypt all happened, Enoch being the channel for the Great Spirit in his spirit form and manifesting all of these things through Moses. Okay, so after all that stuff was written, you know, every Bible gets adjusted and rewritten. And so, because the Jewish religion was based on one God, one creator, that was the thing that separated the Jewish religion from all the other religions. They didn't want to have angels. They didn't want to give the greatest miracles of their religion to a spiritual guide named Enoch, because the foundation of Judaism is one God. So they took Enoch out of the Old Testament and just gave all those miracles the credit to God, the Creator. But because Enoch had such a profound effect on the spiritual history and the physical history of this world, ending slavery, which had tormented thousands of people for so long, he got a promotion, and he became an archangel. And as an archangel, his name was changed to Metatron.
Oh, I never knew that.
And the reason why Archangel Raphael, Uriel, Gabriel, and well, they all end with E-L.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And E-L means of God, which means those four archangels, the fourth one, who I can't remember his name right now, it's just a mental blank, they never had earthly lives. They were angelic beings in heaven, and they were doing God's work, of course, you know, but they didn't have an earthly lifetime, where Enoch had an earthly lifetime.
All right. This is a history I'm not familiar with.
Yeah. So one of the messages about a year and a half ago that I got from Metatron.
Okay.
Metatron is an archangel. So as I was saying in our last interview, when you have an experience with an archangel, they are so, their energy is so tremendous that I felt so small and insignificant next to this energy, because if I didn't know any better, I would have thought that this is the God, the Creator itself. You know, so anybody who's ever had an experience, who's listening, you have an experience with an archangel, they appear as these giant angels, these giant spiritual beings.
Mm-hmm.
So Enoch becomes the first ascended, if you want to call it ascended master, or the first ascended archangel that started in a human lifetime like you and me.
Okay.
That is when the ascension started.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Because he was the first ascender.
Okay.
Now, Archangel Metatron is also responsible for sacred geometry, and I've had more sacred geometry in my life in the last couple of years than... It's an adventure traveling with me. I mean it.
Well, your music actually creates sacred geometry.
Well, people share that at the events where they see helixes and they feel their DNA changing. And you know, this is other stuff that I'm like, you know, I had to hear that from about 20 or 30 people before I started really taking that seriously.
Mm-hmm. So you're into realms that you never thought you would be interested in these things, because of the feedback you're getting from so many people, including that man who was able to speak to a lot of spirits out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people in your audience who have these direct experiences of ascended masters.
Mm-hmm.
And so it opens us all up to possibilities that we never could appreciate and create a reality of it, because we see how persistent it is in these realms that are mm-hmm. created by your music.
You know, every scientist talks about that we only use 2% of our brain's potential. Okay? And some of the politicians running for president, I don't think they use really 1% of their brain power. But just think about it. The most intelligent person uses 2% of their brain power.
That's why this is a very stupid civilization.
Well,
that's getting smarter all the time.
It is getting smarter all the time, but the fact that the 98% is our spirituality. That's the part that mankind has been missing. You know, there have been different people throughout history who had tapped into their spirituality, there's no doubt. You know, that's why we have the religions of the world. That's how those things
and great work. Philosophers.
Yeah, exactly. But there is a difference between logic and intelligence. And in our society, they don't recognize the difference between logic and intelligence. An example of that is
a presidential candidate who went to Harvard.
Well, you'd have to be crazy to run for president anyway, but that's a whole other thing, you know. That would make me wonder about anybody right there, the fact that they would want to have those problems. But anyway, let's not go there into the presidency. But the difference between logic and higher intelligence. Logic says if you're going to go to work and there's a bus that takes you 15 minutes directly to work, logic says take that bus, right? And a person does take that bus. But higher intelligence, 2 years after taking that same bus every single day to work, when somebody's higher intelligence appears to them in the form of their mother who is in spirit, and that mother says, take the train today.
Mm-hmm.
Higher intelligence takes that advice from spirit, that guidance from spirit, so that person doesn't die in the Boston Marathon bombing on that bus.
Right.
And that's what a woman at an event in Boston shared that experience, because that's a true story.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So we need to trust the process, live in serendipity, and be open to these higher messages. And it could even be our higher self talking to us. It doesn't have to be a departed relative or a master.
The unique thing about this situation, it's for many people, and I'd have to say the majority of people, don't have a clue of how much help we're getting from the other side. We just don't see it. You know, it's like we have our spiritual blinders are on. But, for example, let's say you're taking a walk down the street and you have this strong feeling across the street, but you have no logical reason for crossing that street. And that nagging feeling, cross the street already, come on, get over there. You know, and so you listen to it. And you might say to yourself, I have no idea why I'm doing this, but I got such a strong feeling like I should cross the street right now. And you do. And you come across a best friend from high school that you haven't seen forever, or somebody that really, really makes your week, the fact that you've seen for the first time in a long time. Now, we think that those thoughts, that feeling of crossing the street, we think that's us. If you're really spiritual, then you think, well, that must have been my higher self, my soul. But the reality of it is that we each have a whole team of people that are now in spirit, whether they're our relatives on the energy realm side, or whether they are our guardian angels or our spiritual guides in our life, a whole team of them that are going, cross the street, come on, do it. You're going to be so happy you did it, you know?
But see, this is why I think we need to talk about this, so people can recognize that they need to live in the openness to these vibes that come through. And the more that we become sensitive to an awareness that isn't just our mind, it's our higher mind, the more that we can live in trust of serendipity and allow these guides, spirit guides, higher self, to help make our lives smoother. And
for sure. Our mind only knows what it knows.
Right.
Okay. And Albert Einstein is looked at as one of the most intelligent men in history. And he said the most important part of ourselves is our imagination. You know, when we look at things and we call them a fact, we call them science because it's provable. Somebody had to be creative to create that science, come up with those premises that all connected, that proved themselves. We have all these theories we know because for the last 50 years we've accepted these certain things to be true, but before 50 years ago, a lot of these things were not proven yet, and it took somebody like Albert Einstein to use their creative faculty, their imagination. How do you figure it out? How do these things work? And so before these things were proven, somebody had to go out on a limb mentally through their imagination.
So we have to allow imagination to have more credence in our
totally.
Lives.
Absolutely.
Right. And live in more magic.
All the people who have had near-death experiences, you know, that's one of the things that I usually ask the audience every night that I do an event. And I've done 132 events last year. 132 of these events that are called Soul Ascension events now. I asked the audience, how many people in the audience have had a near-death experience? Because I know that the people have had a near-death experience, where it was, whether it was a car accident or some experience where their physical body is like getting shut down for a while, and they're in their spirit form and they're going through that tunnel, they see the light, they experience the heavenly beings, all that stuff. Those people who come to my events, 100% of those people are going to have an outside the park home run, incredible spiritual experience at the event. Because is there's some kind of opening that is in their consciousness because they've tasted it. They've been there.
So they're ready.
Yeah, they're ready, and it's more natural.
Right.
They don't resist it.
No.
They allow themselves to go into their higher intelligence, into their imagination. Because in the energy realm, in the spiritual realm, there is no difference between your imagination and reality.
Right.
Okay, every single book that's ever been written about near-death experiences describe that.
We don't even know where our reality thoughts come from to begin with.
We make reality out of what our logic is.
Right.
But logic is temporary. Logic said that the world is flat. Logic said that white people and black people will never sit at the same table at a restaurant. Back in the time of the American slavery. That was temporary. Logic is temporary. Higher intelligence is not temporary.
Well, now, because of higher intelligence, the sky's the limit, or the universe is the limit, because there's so many places for us to travel to. And what's really interesting is that at your concerts, you're seeing more people reveal themselves in their imagination, in their higher consciousness, than probably anybody else gets to see.
It's been an adventure for me. I mean, I've heard 2,000 people, 855 people who had experiences with the Ascended Masters this year, and 1,257 people who had experiences with their loved ones on the other side. For me to hear 2,000 people in 3 or 4 cities every week, night after night, 75 events in a row, at least 10 people at these events have shared those experiences. Okay, for me to hear all that has been like a spiritual scientific experiment.
Right. For you, you've for me, collected all, it accumulates.
Right. I got to see the pattern.
Right. The people at each event get the experience, become inspired by what people are sharing, but they're only seeing it. Although you do get people who come to multiple events.
I've had people come to 6 or 7 events, and every single event they came to took them to a higher level. And there are people who came to one event and had an experience for their first time in their life having a conversation, a channeling experience with their mother or their father, and then after that, they're open. And they continually have those inner conversations with their loved one on the other side, and it just keeps getting better.
Well, once people are open, then they stay open because they know the possibility of it.
It's like the light is on.
Right.
And where before it was just dark, and now they know how to turn on that light inside themselves.
But it's not only people who come to your concerts, because sure, people can get your CDs.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, the CDs, I mean, every day 300,000 people listen to my music for all kinds of reasons, you know.
Right, and you don't get to hear their sharing unless they send you a message somehow.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, people email me different experiences, and that's a wonderful thing to hear. But it is kind of unique, the fact that I really have no idea what, like, there's over 1 million people who have my CDs. I have no idea the part in their life that my music is playing. I mean, there are tons of people who would tell me that, you know, their whole pregnancy, they played a certain CD for their baby, and as that baby was being born, coming through the canal, they wanted my music to be heard as the first sound that that baby heard, wow, you know, when they came into the planet, you know.
That's a great compliment.
Yeah, but, you know, we all create things that have a life of their own.
Sure.
You know?
Sure, so it's really a blessing for you to be carrying this ability to open people up. And I guess it's, you have to dedicate yourself to it, and you have 9 concerts coming up that you not in a row that you will be filming at.
Yeah, making a documentary.
Yeah.
And it'll be great, because the great thing is The great part isn't me. The great part is the fact that these people allow themselves to have these spiritual experiences, and they share them in a group.
So the documentary will be a lot of the sharing that people...
Totally. It'll break molds out there in the consciousness of the world, because there are certain people who don't believe this stuff is possible. And all you'd have to do is come to one of my events. Like, my best friend from college came to one of my events in Syracuse. He said, I've never heard anything like what people are sharing at your event. It's like, it's such a reality burster. It just completely, it's like, really? This is possible? That person really, really had that experience? Like, wow. Once you've been, my mom came to five events in a row, five nights in a row a couple of months ago. And I said, Mom, I've got some other events in your area in 2 weeks. And my mom said, David, I can't handle one more ounce of positive energy. For real, and she didn't come with me because wow. She said she still needed more time after 2 weeks of nothing. Yeah.
I'm curious as to how that plays out in her consciousness and yours in your relationship with her, being a parent myself.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming when we are with our children and experience how wonderful they are.
That says a lot, you know, because my mom loved traveling with me, but there was just so much spiritual energy. You know, and my mom's almost 80, and she doesn't meditate. And to be around two meditations a night with 20 or 30 people sharing their out-of-this-world experiences, it's a lot. I mean, I love it.
It's something that you want to be loving.
Yeah, yeah.
So, David Young, people can find you where?
DavidYoungMusic.com. You can Facebook friend me, and I also have a new website for the live streaming, which is ihope.world. And iHope stands for Imagine Heaven on Planet Earth.
That's great. That world. David Young, thank you so much for being a guest again on Energy Stew.
My pleasure, anytime.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. For 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.